Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Less Panic, More Peace. So glad that you tuned in. I want to first off thank you all for the love and support recently. We've got so many more listeners this past few weeks, which is insane. So thank you all for listening. Let's basically just jump right in to the episode. I'm super excited for today's special guest. He's a TV personality by being on the Food Network, Cooking Channel, host of That Takeout Show, and a father who has a child with food allergies. Introducing Ali Khan. How are you doing today?
I feel perky and I feel productive. I'm trying to answer that as, you know, you get those questions like, the generic, I'm great. I feel perky and productive because I'm having an afternoon coffee. Maybe I shouldn't, but I am. And it's been a good morning. And now it's the afternoon. The sun's kind of out. It's been raining lately.
You know, we love that. All interesting, interesting. So can you tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So, you know, like you said, some folks might have some awareness of me. I hosted a show called Cheap Eats on Cooking Channel, which ran 5 seasons, and it's currently all streaming on Discovery Plus. So basically the premise of that show is I had $35 to find breakfast, lunch, snack, and dinner at a given city. Traveled the country, 40 states, 59 cities, exploring, you know, the great American foodscape. Prior to that, I did some time doing some food writing. And, you know, it's really interesting, like, in this era we're in right now, where it's like you get pinged to be like, oh, do you want to be on a podcast? I feel like a big part of my life has been adapting to this new media world where technology has allowed us to create platforms for ourselves. And, you know, I started out doing some food writing, but my original ambitions were to get into the entertainment business, to, you know, be an actor and get in front of the camera. And food just became a killer platform for me. So yeah, it's been a real trip, and then eventually caught the attention of the folks at Food Network and Cooking Channel, and, you know, been on a number of series for them. We just recently wrapped a series called Spring Baking Championship with Duff Goldman, Nancy Fuller, and Cartier Brown. So I've been hosting some baking shows and some other shows called Best Thing I Ever Ate and lots of stuff. And I got a cool little blog too. And probably in the last year or so, I've been cooking more than ever before, which kind of started my relationship with FAIR and the food allergy community, because I was just sharing some stuff that happens in my house. My son's allergic to nuts, so I made a nut-free pesto with sunflower seeds. And Jonathan from FAIR saw that. He's like, hey, does your son have a nut allergy? And I'm like, yep. And it started this whole new world for me of sharing food content and creating food content with allergy awareness, because we're definitely a food allergy family. We are. We've had our close calls. We keep EpiPens and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Well, that's amazing. I love that. So, also, you've won a recent award recently for That Takeout Show, which is amazing. So, congratulations.
Yeah.
I watched an episode on it, and it's like so comedic and fun, but also like gives you a little bit more like information wise. And that's awesome. So, can you tell the audience a little bit about that?
It's so funny. My running joke is I've never won an award in my life except for most improved in tennis camp when I was like 9 years old. And I did get better, but I was also not very good. So yeah, we won the 2021 Hermes Creative Award for this series, That Takeout Show. It's a show we created with FAIR. It was a really cool project because I could tell you, like, you know, I spent so much time like getting into the TV world. And for me, I'm an old fogey, I'm 44 years old. It's so interesting understanding just like the power of YouTube. And clearly your generation looks to YouTube no differently than I would look to CBS or HBO, right? And, you know, in 2019, I teamed up with some, I live in Austin, Texas. I teamed up with some Austin filmmakers who are super into food. They were doing this really cool food series on Instagram. And we connected and I was like, let's do like a fun, cool project for YouTube. So we created this show called Ali versus Adobe, which was a whole thing where I had to eat foods and I had no idea what they were. and they were meant to be foods that were not just things I never had before, but kind of extreme things, things that I may or may not like. Like I had grasshopper tacos, which is a whole other story. But I work with these guys. We created this real cool thing in the food comedy space. And so when I was talking to Fair and we were talking about doing a food series, I was like, let's bring in the comedy. Let's definitely obviously make this suitable for the food allergy audience. Like, let's give them some cool advice and stuff. And, you know, we created this show where I'm basically ordering takeout, but the caveat being like dealing with nut allergies and also kind of bringing my knowledge of food front and center, because I mean, I know we both share a certain cultural heritage, South Asian, right? My parents are from Bangladesh, and, you know, a lot, some people may not know that chicken korma, it's got cashews in it. Right. Mm-hmm. I know that. But in doing a show like that takeout show, we could really kind of go, OK, you have nut allergies. Right. You can order Thai food. The way you order Thai food is to contact a restaurant, start a conversation, see who's out there who can really kind of accommodate what you need. And I literally done this myself, and it's work, but it's that extra step that's so worth it, because I've been on the other side. When you're at an emergency room going, oh my gosh, what just happened? What were the six steps I could have done differently? So that's the premise behind that takeout show. And, you know, food allergies are obviously different for everybody. So we just wanted to explore them and explore ways where, yes, even if you have a peanut allergy, there might be a Vietnamese restaurant or Thai restaurant that can accommodate you, you know? So it's really a strategy guide. Yeah. And we got a new series too, that just came out.
Ooh, wait, what's it called?
That Breck. So for some reason, it's like, I don't know if Fair was like, let's just use the word that.
So this that takeout show. That
that breakfast show. So breakfast. That breakfast show, the concept there is trying to get the family out the door. How can we make a breakfast that is, you know, fast, easy, and tasty, and just, you know, kind of take advantage of the fact that I think we've all become better cooks over this last year or so. So, you know, it's certainly not 100% allergen free. I mean, we kind of clearly go, we're making a taco with eggs and it has eggs in it. We also talk about substitutions too, but basically it's just about making fun, fast, and easy breakfast recipes. And I kind of have this little caveat. It's not brunch, it's breakfast. A lot of times people kind of think like, oh, what are you going to make? And it's going to be something elaborate. This is fast. This is easy. This does not have a lot of dishes to clean up, which is kind of
where that's awesome. I actually love how you said that this generation is now just on podcasts, YouTube. They want something quick. They want something fast. And so right away, if you keep on spinning facts at them, you know, they're not going to retain it. So you need stories, you need interesting things. And that's what you're doing, is like building that platform, which makes it interesting, but informative, but they don't know that they're getting educated on it. You know, it's like you're sitting in a class, you're going to be educated, and you don't want to hear anything. And then it's kind of like that, if you add some sort of aspect to it where it's entertaining, they're like, oh, wait, maybe I could listen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, some of the things, you know, I've been learning with, you know, folks like yourself in this food allergy community has been, you know, it's not a curse, you know, like it's something to deal with, but it's like, how do you look at what can be a burden in a different way? Like, how do you take charge of things? And this is broad and this is vast. This isn't just about even a food allergy. This could be about eating healthier. This could be about being more productive or money management and stuff. You have to kind of go, okay, do you want to think about this negatively only? Or can you think about it in a way that's like, hey, you know what? It's cool. It's fun. We can kind of be creative about solutions, right? And you know, it's hard. I mean, like we're an anaphylaxis family, you know what I mean? We're full on EpiPen and all that stuff. So, you know, it, of course it's no joke and you're serious about it, but at the same time, like, you know, you just got to find a way to like take a breath and go, we can figure this out, you know? So yeah, absolutely. Mix in a little bit of the humor. That's that. And that was the thing. And winning the award was cool because we had been working, you know, you start out with the YouTube series and you're like, okay, it's cool. And of course the hope is like, oh, it went gigantically viral, but even just to put out some content, to have it out there, and then how it can then lead to something else, because we would not have won the Hermes Award. We would not have won that if we didn't just go, let's do something on YouTube. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was very specific. You know, you kind of wanted to put it out and direct it to an audience that can help them and benefit them in any way. And I love how you said that it's humor. You kind of use humor as a way to cope. And I had so many episodes on that and people telling me that, yeah, humor is a great way to cope because what else can you do? Especially in the pandemic, you know, in the midst of this pandemic, there's so many negative things that you can focus on. But, you know, just kind of focusing on the positive things, you know, there's this mantra I have that I have. I'm actually writing a kid's book and it's releasing in the summer, which I'm really excited about, but food allergies. And it's basically saying the mantra of it all is there may not be 100 things that you can't do, but there are 200 things that you can do. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's that one thing you can't eat, but there's so many things you can do. You know, you can walk, you know, you can run, you can draw, you can climb the monkey bars, you can go down the slide, you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And don't focus too much on the negative, you know? So I love how you said that.
It is. It's like a life strategy too. I mean, one of the things that's been really cool about FAIR has been, you know, prior to this stuff, like my initial kind of entry into like food and food media is like, oh my God, you got to eat here. You know what I mean? And then if you look at like Instagram, there's a whole chase of like decadence and ultimately gluttony and stuff. And, you know, the thing is like, I love me my In-N-Out 3x2, but I don't eat those every day. And then you kind of have to be real and go, you know, like I had a bowl of oatmeal with raspberries this morning. You got to do that. You got to find like that balance and stuff. And I think, you know, it's, you know, there's this thing, and I've experienced over the years where, you know, you hear some new information and there's this very unfortunate reaction people have where they kind of go, they vilify something. You know, like growing up in the 1980s, all this research came out about heart disease, right? Coronary artery disease and cholesterol. And it's like, oh, eggs and beef and all this stuff. I'd never, ever eat it. It's like, here's the thing. Like, I like that stuff. You know what I mean? And how many people can just go, oh, well, I just won't eat that. That's tough. That's really hard. But I found more success in going, let's focus on what I need to eat in greater frequency. You know, and then balance that off with like, hey, it's the weekend, chill out. You know what I mean? Like, and some people don't like the word cheat day. I understand its value, but I also understand like, are you cheating or are you just allowing yourself to enjoy something? You just have to kind of find how to do it for your overall health and wellness. And yeah, you know, it's but it is a perspective thing because it's so easy to get down on yourself, you know, and we can be our own worst enemy about it all. You know,
I think us as humans are the most hard on ourselves than anybody else. You know, like if people are also like self, it kind of plays a role in self-confidence in this at the same time, you know, I know a lot of people in high school students, they just kind of think, oh my God, what if someone sees my hair? It looks so bad. No one's really focusing on you. So you kind of have to reassure yourself, like, it's okay. It's okay to have those quote unquote cheat days, whatever you want to call it. I like how you said that you have to kind of, it's like a different perspective on things. Are you cheating? Are you not cheating? You know, I like how you said that way, but yeah, definitely. So I want to hear a little bit more about your story and your child's allergies. So what is that like? What's the story?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you that whole specific experience. So my son was at daycare and you know, he's 9. So this would have been back when like early 2012, right? And neither my wife and I had any history of food allergy or anything like that. So I get a phone call from his daycare and they're like, hey, your son's having an allergic reaction. We need you to take him to the hospital or see a doctor, just come down. So we went down there and, you know, like most, I feel like some schools and daycares and stuff like that, there's definitely like food allergen awareness. At this particular daycare, they had a ban on peanut butter. Unfortunately, someone had mistakenly or just brought it anyways. And what happened with him was the teacher had her back turned for like a second. Like literally a second. And he grabbed a cracker that had peanut butter on it, right? And then she turns around and she's like, oh, that's not your food, put it down. And in that time, he like touched his face and his eye totally swelled shut. Now, he had Benadryl at the time for other stuff. So they administered Benadryl. But when I went to go pick him up, and honestly, it was not very far away, I was probably there in 20 minutes, his eye was totally swollen shut. So went to the hospital, they checked it out, and they're like, well, we'll have to do a blood test. It looks very much like he is allergic to peanuts. So that was our first foray into it. We've had moments and close calls. He is like accidentally eaten, not a peanut, but like, I think a walnut. And he's had nausea. It took a long time to get the car clean. It took a long time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
There was one crazy time we were at a restaurant. You know, it's hard too, is like, you know, it's nuts. It's not like, oh, it's you know, like a milkshake where you're like, oh, you shouldn't have that. Like what's tricky is like when it's nuts, you're actually eliminating foods that are have great health benefits and stuff like that. And, you know, with a kid, as a parent, you're always kind of struggling to be like, oh, you got to eat some more fruit and don't just eat box mac and cheese all the time. So, you know, there have been times where it's like, oh, try and eat this, try and eat that. And we were in a restaurant in Mexico, really awesome restaurant in Mexico. And there was this awesome like tuna, like ceviche dish, almost more like sashimi, you know, and we're eating, it's delicious. And I remember my wife was like, oh, eat some fish, eat something besides just chips and guac, right? And so he had a bite of this tuna and I was eating it. And this is like kind of like this is not a quote traditional, this was not a Tex-Mex joint. This wasn't like a street taco place. This was a modern restaurant in Mexico. And they had this like cool little whipped topping on top of these slivers of raw tuna. And I was tasting it and I was like, God, it has like a nutty quality. Now we're in a restaurant that's like not fluent English. My Spanish is okay. I've got like restaurant Spanish. So we asked and then we heard the si cacahuetes, which is peanuts.
Oh.
And my wife leapt up out of her chair. We were walking like a 10-minute walk from the hotel 15. She sprinted and came back with the EpiPen. What was really crazy was we've never actually, knock on wood, had to use the EpiPen because he's never ingested something that's triggered any anaphylaxis. And I know everyone's like, never be in doubt, just do it. But you know, it's look, I'll be real, it's hard. You know, when your child's like, oh, I'm gonna jab you with the needle, everyone's freaking out. Luckily he didn't ingest anything and it was fine. But yeah, just the close calls and the stress and a lot of, like I was saying in the show, it's like, just call ahead, ask the question, even if it's obvious, you know, just to kind of get it out there, you know?
Yeah, that's great advice. I like how you were real and said, you know, it's hard. Because a lot of parents feel that same exact way. You know, it's hard during an allergic reaction. You don't know what to do, even though you prepared for this. You kind of like, okay, I know how to use it. It's like, it's you actually have to stab your child in the thigh with an EpiPen and it's a needle and it's just so hard. And so a lot of parents feel that way and they feel regretful for giving them the allergen in the first place. You know, they kind of want to be in control of it, but they really can't. And That's actually, I just like share a little story. Yesterday, my sister had an allergic reaction. We went over to a friend's house at the neighbor's house, kind of asked us to come over for dinner. So we went to dinner and they made spaghetti. And they're a family that we're really close to. They really are really careful with their allergies. And so we kind of put our guard down. I feel like that's what happened. We put our guard down. And so We were there at dinner and she gave us some spaghetti that she said that was homemade. And we ate it. My friend and my sister, we all went upstairs. We went to go eat our spaghetti. We're watching some movie. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, hold on. After like a 5 bites, I said, this doesn't feel right. This is like my throat is starting to itch. But I was like, you know what? Maybe allergies. I have a bunch of environmental allergies. So it might've been like pollen or something. I don't know. So it kind of shooted off for a little bit. I kind of subsided that thought because I didn't really want to believe it. I was like, I don't really feel like I have an allergic reaction right now. I just don't want to think about it. Let's just not. So then it kind of gotten worse. I was like, okay, hold on. And then I looked and I saw a piece of nut. It was a walnut or a cashew or something. And I'm like, hold on, what is this? So I told my friend, I was like, do you know what this is? I see something hard. And she paused the movie and she's like, oh, it's probably like burnt cheese or something. And I said, I guess. And so right after, our parents were like calling us down. Okay, guys, it's time to go, you know? And my sister's like, you know, I feel something too. And I was like, wait, you feel something? I feel something. And we usually have the same allergies. It's like, we both have nut allergies, but she has worse and she has cashew allergy and I have a peanut allergy. So it's really confusing, but basically she said she felt the same thing. We went downstairs. We told the parents, the mom who made the spaghetti, she's like, no, I used no nuts. I promise you, I made it at home. And my mom was like, okay, if you made it at home, then there's probably nothing to worry about. Long story short, we went home. My sister was having hives all over and her throat started to close up a little bit. And so my dad's like, okay, EpiPen right now. I don't know what's in it. And my mom called the mom who invited us over and she said, are you sure there's nothing? She's like, let me just check one more time. Check the sauce. It says allergens. We are, it says like eggs, something, and walnuts or cashews. And my mom was like, it says it right there. You know, it says it right there clearly. And she was like, oh, it must've been like an overlook or something, but the sauce had some cashew in it. And so my sister was like, oh God, now I have cashew. She's a really bad cashew allergy. She had about 6 or 7 EpiPens already throughout her life. And she's 13. So basically she had to take the EpiPen and it was a crazy experience that happened last night. And my dad was debating. Yeah.
Here's my first question. What kind of sauce was it?
I know. I was like, how is sauce supposed to have nuts in it? I didn't know. I was like, what?
I mean, when you say spaghetti,
yeah,
I think marinara. You know, I think marinara, I think bolognese, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's weird. And yet there was like a cashew in it, which is crazy. Now, let me ask you this. Your dad obviously was like, he stepped up. He's like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Was he just like, kaboom, like, boom, it's in and that's it?
So he's very, that's a good question because he's done this a bunch of times. He's done it 7 or 8 times already on different people too. And he's kind of certain, like he knows how to do it, you know, but he was also debating inside his head. Like, okay, let's just check your symptoms. Let's see how severe it is. Because actually I forgot to mention this. She had the same exact meal in the winter when we went over to their house before. So they made that meal twice. And the first time she didn't have that much of a reaction, which is weird. Yeah. So it was really confusing, but my dad said, you know what? I don't know if I should take you to the ER or I should not. So he gave the EpiPen. He knew right away. If there's two or more symptoms involved, right, you give the EpiPen right away. Right. And so my dad's like, okay, should I take you to the ER or not? And I said, you know what? I think that I've learned from my podcast. And, you know, this is like the beneficial part about having a food allergy podcast. I speak to so many people who have so much information about it. And so they basically said, you know, if you feel comfortable not giving them to the ER right away every single time, then that's okay. You know, you can just stay home, take the EpiPen, monitor my sister. So my sister basically was just monitored the entire night.
So, yeah, you know, I think the closest one we've had where my son got epinephrine, we went to one of those like urgent care instant things and they just gave him epinephrine, but it wasn't like, we didn't administer it, right? Have you ever had to give yourself an EpiPen shot?
I have not. I really do not want to do that. I'm going to college in about two years. So I'm going to hopefully not have to do that.
It goes without saying that nobody wants to do that. It's just so crazy.
I know. I mean, I'm going to have to do it at some point. Like, I'm going to not be with my parents all the time, you know, in 2 years when I go off to college. So God forbid something happens, I have to learn how to do it myself. But yeah, so I think we should take a little intermission now. And okay. I have this little segment. It's called Fast Five Questions. And it's a little fun game. And it's basically like 73 questions on Vogue or Ellen's Burning Questions. I don't know if you've heard of them. But basically, I'm going to ask you 5 questions and you're going to answer as fast as you can. It's just allergy questions. I mean, I do this to every guest and I time it out, actually. I started timing it for my last guest and she got 1 minute and 7 seconds. So let's see how fast you can do it.
Well, you know, I just did the food allergy quiz on Fair's Facebook Live. So hopefully I have learned a few things.
Oh, awesome. So you're prepared. Great.
Well, we'll see. You're going to be an epic fail. We'll see.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Who carries the EpiPen in your family?
My wife usually does.
What's your go-to fast food restaurant that is okay with your child's allergies?
In-N-Out Burger.
How do you come across clearly to a waiter or waitress?
I talk to them. I mean, I don't know. I have no problems talking.
Okay, what's one word to describe allergies as a whole?
Oh, man. One word? awareness.
What's a step-by-step procedure during an allergic reaction?
You have the sheet. Yeah, you know, you look at the symptoms. You know, what you do the whole checklist thing, and then actually I'll bust you because you've revealed it. If you hit two of what's listed, then you apply the EpiPen.
Awesome! Great, you did it. You survived.
How long?
Let me check. 1 minute and 6 seconds.
Yeah, I beat the other person.
Awesome.
I'm so verbose. I was blah, 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 blah.
It was really good. It's really fast. Yeah. Awesome. So kind of moving towards your child's current perspective on food allergies himself. So What is that like? I'm kind of curious to know, like, does he have any like self-confidence issues or any bullying lately or anything that's kind of feeling like an outsider or not like fitting in a way?
You know, it's interesting, like, and this is just, I think part of it's a whirlwind, part of it is like the school he's in. The school is very aware of food allergy stuff. And it's, you know, he goes to this great little private school. My wife works there. It's why we moved to Austin, right? So it's a really kind of special place, special environment. And there's a lot of awareness. There's a lot of awareness about food allergies. And there's also like a whole like, you know, it's social emotional learning is a big part of it. So there's no allergy shame up in there. You know what I mean? Like I just, it's to be honest, it just feels so common, you know, like it's just a thing. And, you know, so I think he's in a good environment where, you know, there's awareness and, you know, he's, you know, supported and stuff like that. I mean, he is aware and it is hard when he sees food and it's like, oh, I can't. Like he has such a automatic negative reaction to foods with nuts, right? Because he can't eat them. He also knows that they're dangerous. And like from what I do, like when I was hosting Spring Baking Championship, yeah, like desserts are loaded with like, you know, he's peanuts and tree nuts. The advice of our allergist, physician, he was like, just avoid them all. Because it's like peanut, pecan, walnut, hazelnut, like not everything across the board, but it's like, why mess around, right? So he can watch something on TV, watch me like doing something, I'll eat it. And he'll be like, you ate that? Like there's a, you know, it's like he knows that it's like, oh, he can't take part in that and stuff. And that is tricky. I mean, that's not a 24/7 thing. I mean, look, we as a family kind of like, we don't keep nuts in the house. You know what I mean? Who's dumped it? It's like not worth it. And it's funny, I was going to play this game with you because I think what is cool is when you can kind of find flavors to substitute, which is a big thing that I was excited about with Fair. It's like, you know, I mean, this is also, it's a top nine allergen, but it's not an allergen in our house. It's sesame. So like you replacing peanut butter with tahini. Like I just made a spinach gumai, which is delicious if you're down with sesame. And I use tahini in it. It's so good. And I was literally taking a spoonful of this tahini to taste it. And I was like, oh my God, it's like peanut butter. I mean, it's not exactly peanut butter. It's much more runny and stuff.
Yeah.
But the flavor profile, depending on what you're going for, it's pretty compelling and interesting. But, you know, we just kind of keep it out of our world. It's not like, oh, hey, I'm going to eat this and you eat your nut-free stuff. I will tell you though, literally yesterday, we had a friend in town visiting. We went to this cool bakery and we were hanging out. And it's kind of crazy too because we're all vaccinated and we're actually going out again, which is
right?
Yeah, I was like, oh, weird. And like, what's crazy too is like, remember, like, I mean, like, we're all vaccinated. We've all been like kind of hanging out and like we're eating food off of one plate, which is, again, it sounds almost feel like irresponsible saying that, but it was fine because we're vaccinated. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, there were two desserts on one plate, a chocolate torte, totally fine, and this other thing that had almonds. And I was like, oh, geez, this has the nuts in it. Let's, you know, part of me is just like, oh, my God, put it on separate plates. Heath, eat that over here. But, and it's weird. It's hard for me to say, of course, if you go to those extreme lengths, you're reducing risk. And that's great. But it's hard to live 0% risk-free 24/7, you know? And so he was able to eat this chocolate torte and not get, you know, obviously he had nothing happened. You know what I mean? But it's just, it's crazy. It's like, you're like, oh man, how do you, and as the parent kind of navigating it, yeah, of like, well, just eat over on this side, Heath. Or, you know, I was literally going to like take some pieces and put it on like a napkin and just hand it to him. He's just going for it or whatever. And our friend who's more relaxed was just kind of like, no, no, it's fine. That's over here. That's here. But as a parent, you're just like, hang on. Okay. So, because we would never, I wouldn't order it. Like, I don't eat that stuff, nut stuff, if he's there. Like, if we're coming, if we're out and about and we come back home, that's one thing. We go out to dinner. It's like, okay, we'll eat something nuts in it. You know, it's so funny. I'm talking about nuts. Like, it's like, ooh, it's crazy taboo thing. But yeah, it's weird, right? You always want to, who doesn't want to always duck a bullet? I always want to duck a bullet, you know?
I feel like it's hard because we can't always live in a bubble. I know, you know, my parents always want to make sure and want to be in control of it, but I feel like we have to break the bubble sometimes because we can't live in it, and there's nothing that we can do to stop it. Especially, you know, I've actually moved from private school to public school, from middle school to high school. I actually went to public school in high school, and my dad's like, you know what? I feel like private school is keeping you in a little bubble, and he wants me to kind of go out into the real world and really feel what public school is like and have both experiences, because he believes that change is like a great thing, and you know, you're gonna adapt, and the only way to adapt is to grow, and the only way to change is to grow, and I mean, the only way to grow is to change, and so he wants me to kind of have both experiences. So my point is that being in a bubble is never going to really help you grow. And I think that going to college is a great way to learn how your allergies, you know, what your allergies are, be more educated about your allergies, because I know a lot of kids don't really kind of rely on their parents for the allergies, and that's okay too. But we kind of have to go out on our own sometimes and really self-advocate. So yeah, I definitely agree. And I have a really quick question for you. So do you think that anything could have prepared you for being an allergy father? Anything?
You know, I mean, the one thing that's kind of good for me is like, I, you know, spent all, I mean, I'm enough of a food geek to be like, yeah, satay has peanuts. You know what I mean? That's what I think is interesting is like, you know, knowing when you deal with this food allergy stuff, that there are a lot of people who may not have food awareness. And I think that's a whole other thing. So I feel pretty good about it. I mean, I would say my weak points or whatever are, God, you know, it's not the food stuff. I feel like our allergies, like, it's not like you can't go to a restaurant. And there are people who can't go to a restaurant. Yeah. You know what I mean? He can't eat it, right? But I would say the big thing for me is just kind of like, that EpiPen, just like, you know, like I said, my wife always keeps it in her purse or whatever. Like, I remember there was the first couple of years, he's 9 now, right? Like, first couple of years, it would just be like, diaper bag, check, EpiPen, check, car seat, check. You know, like, I had all this stuff. Now I'm just like walking out the door, like, let's go. You know what I mean? Yeah, and, just, you know, that's the one thing is kind of, I think I've gotten lax about having that pen around, you know, because like and you know why? He's always in a bubble. He's always in a bubble. And my wife really runs it all. So I think like where I'm at right now is kind of being like, I'll be on it when it comes to ingredients and asking for food. You know what I mean? But it's just, I think having that pen around. 100%
agree.
Yeah, 100%. I don't use it. I mean, you were saying like, I don't feel like having an allergy attack right now. Just watch a movie. You know,
literally. I mean, yeah, it's hard. It is definitely hard. And I think that kind of moving towards like that peace state of panic to more of a state of peace, it's definitely hard. It's easier said than done, you know, just like, don't think about it. Don't worry about it. It's easier said than done, to be honest.
You know, right? That's the new mantra, I think. Easier said than done. We try. Yeah. Easier said than done.
Yeah. But as a parent, as a food allergy parent, I want to know, what is some advice, some tips you can give to other parents? You know, it's your child. So your child's 9 right now, right?
Yeah, he's 9.
So he was diagnosed at what age exactly?
I mean, he was a year and I want to say 14 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you kind of know what you're doing with food allergies, but like, can you tell parents some advice or tips that you have for them?
You know, well, look, I'd say the first thing is like, you need to get with your doctor and really discuss this stuff and get the test done. Because, you know, sensitivities are different. You know what I mean? So that's like the first thing. You know, just get a handle on, you know, what the needs are. Before fair, I started this partnership with FAIR. I actually got all this documentation from FAIR when we saw the allergy doctor. It was crazy. I was like, get out. This is FAIR. I have no idea. Yeah, just FAIR literally. Is awesome. I have a file cabinet here. And back when I would actually keep paperwork, now it's like, I just scan it. It's like dumb. But like, I literally had FAIR stuff sitting in my file from the doctor, from the pediatrician forever. But definitely I'd say, look, you got to get with your doctor, you know, and then talk to an allergist. And then a doctor should say, you know, you need to go see an allergist. The other thing too is, again, it all starts there, I think. And then from there, it's like, you know, there are some resources and some people that can get you an EpiPen without having to spend an arm and a leg, because that's a whole other issue too. Mm-hmm. And then again, like, it's so funny because it was a FAIR. I'm like, FAIR. But, you know, the documentation we got from the allergy doctor has this allergy plan. And then you want to make sure where your child is, they have that kind of information. Like, certainly schools and daycares and a sitter and all that stuff. Like, people need to be aware of what the plan is for your kid's allergy.
Education. I think that's exactly what I took away from what you just said. You know, people have to be educated and aware of the allergy. And mm-hmm. I think people should learn how to use the EpiPen themselves, right? Like, God forbid you're not there and your child has an allergic reaction. You know, right. Your child is not like old enough, I don't think, to self-advocate. I'm not sure. But I think that a lot of like kids who are 9, they don't really exactly know, you know, how to use the EpiPen or how to self-advocate for themselves. So it's really great for other people to be educated on as well. So yeah, I definitely agree with what you said there. So to wrap everything up, is there any words of wisdom? I do the segment, it's called Words of Wisdom. And it's like anything you want to say to the audience, a little last takeaway of the podcast you would like the audience to hear.
You know what? I'll just say this. If you're suffering from food allergies, it's all about empowering yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you need to, you know, learn stuff, do your homework, find out like what, you know, like call around. I mean, it's so funny. This is kind of what the show's concept was, is call the restaurant. If you're going to a restaurant, seeing what the deal is, like see, what the protocols and procedures are. And obviously know your allergy, you know what I mean? And then you just kind of like talk to people and communicate and go, this is my particular situation. And I feel like, you know, it's hard because I work obviously with folks in the service industry and can be very polarizing. Some people are like, they want nothing to do with you. And the thing is like, depending on what the allergy severity is, I think it's really important to not only know your allergy protocol and sensitivity, but communicate that as well. Because, you know, some people will just be like, they don't want to handle the danger zone. You know what I mean? And you can't, like you said, can't just, you know, you got to define what that bubble is and, you know, explore the world in a safe way. I mean, you know, you can always, you can still do stuff. You can still go out to eat and stuff like that. You just have to figure out what your protocol is and communicate those needs, you know?
Yeah. And not making allergies your entire identity, right?
So yeah,
kind of goes back to empowering yourself, like you said, which is great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Ali. It's so wonderful to speak to you. It's so fun. I hope we can stay in touch. And I thank you all for listening to Less Panic, More Peace, new episodes every other week. Peace out.